Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And tonight I have Seven as my guest, his name is James Evan Bomar III, and he has a book out called The Code to the Matrix. And so he's going to give us some very important information. He's going to help enlighten us. Help us with our journey on this path that we are on. And so I'm not going to continue to talk much longer. I want to bring him on. He will be with us for 2 hours, giving us the knowledge and the wisdom and mainly the understanding. So I'm going to bring Seven up. Seven?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for joining us, and also, can you tell the audience, how did you get on this path?
Sure. I mean, I wanted to first thank the Most High for allowing me to continue to broadcast the message, and I wanted to also thank the listeners who are out there that are enlightening themselves with the conversation and taking their time to work on themselves as it all is collective, where it's all working on all of us. Personally, I've been on the path really since I was younger. I can definitely say when I was younger, I was more on the path then than in the middle of my life, because as a child, my mother had, she raised us a lot different than most children. We weren't allowed to celebrate holidays. We weren't allowed to watch TV, and we were given spiritual books as our entertainment. And so that's how I first became fascinated with the spiritual world and reading the City of Pigraphas, the Apocryphas, and definitely the Qurans and the Bibles and different things like that, and getting familiar with that world because it was more like an adventure world. So it's the same thing as a child would have a cartoon, except for mine were spiritual books and things like this. And so I can definitely say that that's what began the path. That's when the seed was planted.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And also, I was reading, and you were saying that your father was in the military, and he was a programmer, and your mother was there putting in the information. And you think you were in her womb at this time, too?
Yes. So what I found out later on is that my father was a master sergeant in the military, and at that particular time, and he was in charge of programming and operations. And I found out, because I always wanted to go back and try to figure out how it is that I came into this accelerated level of knowledge in such a short period of time and, you know, where it all began. And my father was, a programmer, just programming the basic Fortran and COBOL and various computer languages. And my mother said what was odd about that engagement was is that he would oftentimes make her sit and watch this programming and onto the computer. And when she would get up, he would stop and look at her in a very stern way, and she would have to sit back down. And so I don't really know, and I haven't been able to interface with my father, unfortunately. And so I would never be able to really ask him. But I believe that definitely he had discovered something within the letters and numbers. My mother said he always said he discovered something in the numbers, and he knew how to beat the system with the numbers. And so this was definitely one part of the interaction. But there was a lot of things that has taken place in my life for me to be calibrated to do this type of work. And I never get into, because I have an ego, but I ride it. I don't use it to control me. And but I don't believe one can destroy the ego, because we build the ego every day, and it just needs to be put under control. But basically, I'm just saying I don't toot my own horn. So what I had to do is I had to go back into my own past, into my name, and into my family members and things like that, to figure out where all this was coming from and where all this this knowledge and why it was coming to me. And that just is the quest that every man, I believe, woman goes on in life when they experience something as vividly as I have.
Wow. So you've been on this path from day one, basically. And so now your book, The Code to the Matrix, explain to us how did this, well, I guess this is kind of, well, you explain to us how this came about. How did you get
it? Okay, the Code to the Matrix in itself is a compression of, realistically, it's a compression of 60 million years worth of knowledge that was placed into my brain during an interaction with I could just say what began. This is the activation of ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light is the last color that you can see on the spectrum. So in the knowledge of light, that means that it's a high frequency or a high wave being sent, and somehow I was able to assimilate that wave and turn it into a channel of communication. And it was only a few previous to that I was transferring about 150 gigabytes on a FireWire drive, which is a faster computer drive, and I was watching the computer and how fast it transferred that information, and the cable, the small little thin cable it was going through, and I just said, you know, if I could just put my finger there and catch that information, then I could, you know, have 150 gigs worth of information. And these type of ideas, and that's what I definitely want to get into the show tonight, because a lot of people are searching for the experience and haven't had the experience yet, and because they want that. And the main thing about focus and intent is, you know, what I want to definitely get into at a certain point, and how to make the experience that you're looking for really come about, still understanding that most experiences don't come about because of fear, and fear does two things. Fear guards a person from otherwise doing things that could damage their soul. And it also, at some point, becomes the mind controller where it holds the soul. So it's something that has to be really dealt with and questioned within oneself. It's easier if that's where the ego has to be put in check at certain points, is it's easier to be honest with yourself, steel sharpens steel. Most people at this point won't be able to take advice from other individuals. One, there's not too many individuals that can really give them good advice. But two, when someone tries to give them advice, ego's already so big it won't take the advice. So most people are going to have to sharpen themselves by taking these techniques, because it is more like a monologue. Although I do talk to a lot of people, you know, the book received 30,000 downloads. So the book itself is in a lot of people's hands, and they haven't interfaced with the site, but I know that they're out there and they're handling it from their own perspective.
Mm-hmm. And give the people where they can go to the site to get your book.
Okay, I just wanted to say, if you hear this line at all cutting or anything, I am in a foreign country. So, but do let me know, because we can fix that. But I just wanted to make that known just in case. The people could go to the words. You don't have to type www. In the browser anymore. Just the words. That's THEWORDS ning.ning, that's ning.com. So that's the words.ning.com. You can find the book there. You can also find the social community where many individuals on separate levels of enlightenment are there to be able to converse with. And that's really what the key is. We have people from all around the world, from every level of thought, of every color, every creed, and commingling with each other and getting to the meat, if you want to give it that term, the meat of this, because the whole situation that's going on here, I really am ready to come forth, especially into the public, because then that's the definitely the next move we're going to be making in 2010 if the Most High allows us to do that. But the energy that I have can be felt in large radiuses. It's not felt, you know, over electronic devices, but through the vibration of my voice. But that I really can make people feel more of what needs to be done, because the situation is really all around us. We're definitely in a level of sleep, and it's easy to prove even what frequency the sleep level is on. And it's just really time to face the facts, which is what's going on into society. I believe that a big part of people's transformation is knowing what's going on, or the data, as we call it, the information, because that makes them active to start doing what they're going to need to do to cleanse the body and to stay on it. Because, you know, like you could take just the baking soda, for instance. A lot of people try things one time and then that's it. And then they forget a day. And then, you know, and then they come back like a week later and they say, oh, I didn't do anything. And I'm on this and I can remote view them if I wanted to, but, you know, I don't have time to do all that. But I know when a person's put their intention and time into something, and that's what it's going to take to make the transformation, as definitely Dr. Blair mentions, is, you know, people are going to have to want to get ready to go to another level. And there, and if you're scared, I believe that the person should be more concerned with what's going to go on here in this dimension than what could happen if they have to cross into another one. It's like I always say, if you see a portal, I'm going to jump through it. Now, when I get over to the other side, you know, we'll figure it out. But, you know, the situation here on Earth, you know, for the level of sleep, because anything that you neglect for a prolonged period of time that's as precious as Earth, something else is going to see it more of value. And that's just how everything works. Like if you have a diamond ring and you just are very careless with it and you're always leaving it around, eventually someone's going to say, hey, maybe I need that. And right. That's, you know, just how the cycle of life really works. And that way what's precious goes into the hands of those that desire the most, because desire creates energy. Like when someone wants, let's say, just put it back in the text of us, when someone wants you and you want them, it brings a whole other level of motivation. And so that's really what the planet also is interested in, as its own collective consciousness and its own being, is it's interested in being treated correctly. And at this state in time, you know, seeing that we're firing depleted uranium all over the planet, I can definitely see how that wouldn't work with its future intentions.
So what is going on here with us here? And then you can tell us how we need to, what's the next step to go past.
Well, you know, what's really going on here, there's not just one story, so, it might be easier to ask more of a direct question, but I can, you know, I can definitely give some surface knowledge. What's really been going on is Earth in the third dimension and its level of consciousness, that it's constantly been involved with other beings that are of higher magnitude. And just as you see, again, you know, we're definitely under a sun, so the sun is going to have a certain level of influence. And when you're under anything, stars, suns, moons, there's going to be a level of influence, and that's talked about in a lot of the ancient works. And so at this level, the influence of multiple beings now, fourth-dimensional, sixth-dimensional beings, has been so profound that it's caused an imbalance within Earth, because those type of energies have, just as anything that you put too much energy in that can't handle it, those type of energies have caused there to be a problem with the balance here on Earth. So there's been somewhat of what we just call a tailspin on this dimension, because there's more dimensions that exist beside this one, and each of them kind of make their own choices. And that's really what we're dealing with here. A lot of people attempt to fit the whole spectrum of spirituality within their own mind, and even their God within their own mind. And that's just really destructive, because we're talking about something that's infinite that definitely began before we did, for the simple fact that we're still attempting to locate our creator From more, I can only say that on an individual level. People are still attempting to locate their creator, and that's something very foreign to an advanced society. Advanced societies know where they came from, know how they were created, etc. And those are key things that would need to be known if one is to cross into a certain type of future or a higher dimension. You have to know your origin. Because every organism that has a continuation or immortality knows where it's from first or what it was first, so it knows what it needs to become. And then you can see that underneath the microscope. And so because the past and the memory has been wiped, what has started to be created is more like a clone or droid type effect, where because the individual does not have any data of what they really are, they've been assimilated with a story that is basically serpentine, that comes from a reptilian faction that's ever pervading the galaxy and attempting to convince all the beings that it can bump into that it's their god.
So the first step is you need to know your origin, know where you came from.
Yes, the data of history is very important. And what a person has to do, again, like, because here's something else that I want to clear up, because I'm starting to see everywhere that I turn this, we are all one. And this becomes, a very a tough topic if you make it one, so we'll attempt not to make it one. Now, what's happening here is that most people say, well, we're all the same. That is not true. And when coming in contact with other life forms, even sometimes humanoid, you will see that some of these individuals think totally different, and they have their own way of doing things. And that's also what makes Earth so beautiful, because if we were all the same, then we will all be droids. We will all wear the same thing. We would all think the same way. And, you know, we've seen enough movies to see how bland that gets. So we are all different. We're from a lot of different constellations. And coming together as far as the core of the individuals, what can be the same is if a person is pro-life or pro-death. And that's really how it is on this dimension, because it gets cut and dry. This is still a binary world from the aspect of it's basically a good or a bad thing here. And a person's heart tells them which one they're on. And no matter what they can argue about or tell anyone else, if they search in their heart if they're doing something, if it has a positive or negative energy associated with it, then they're able to tell the truth. So therefore, tell themselves the truth. So therefore, there's no need for any gods, any judges, or anything like that. Obviously, the god and the judging is going on inside. And what I was mainly, I believe that the real essence of my work is inner. And I remember when I had made a transformation and the first major transformation, everything that was created from that point had inner, and that's, you know, where the word inner standing was created. And I know for sure that what is going on is that because there's so much externalization, people have wasted so much time on figuring out what's going on outside of them with friends and stars and all of this, they had no time to spend on themselves. And so that's now, because it takes time to work on the mind and the body, just like a muscle, that's caused an issue with their ascension process, which is overdue at this point. And so what we have to do, our task is to speed up the knowledge and the information that's being presented. Like the code itself is a compression of multiple books and years of information, and aeons even worth of information, all into 231 pages with mostly pictures. And so what we're doing for humanity at this point is giving them another opportunity to ascend themselves if they see that as a value, because many people at this point are not going to see that as a value until it's already too late. They were always still partying until the doors on the ark closed. That's always been the story.
Right. Wow. And so so now there are different dimensions. I mean, are we trying to make our space here better? Are we trying to change that? What are we trying to do here?
What I like to do is I like to first of all take off as many filters as possible. And okay. what I mean by that is, sometimes when we're attempting to understand some things, we put filters on it. Now, so imagine this. Their God is born of a woman named Mary. So that God is born of a woman. Then it goes on that this person who now they worship as God, because it is their in between, so it might as well be their God, has been spat upon, put on a cross, and even walked the earth. Now, that's a lot of filters that a person has now put on what they're calling their highest point in their mind. And so what I do is I remove all the filters, like the Most High is not a man, the Most High doesn't have a name, the Most High is not involved in this good and this evil and all these things. And how that works for the mind is, the mind works in this way, where if it attempts to accomplish a task, and it gives itself, let's say you're going to do 20 push-ups. The mind automatically gets tired around 14 push-ups. But if you say you're going to do 30, then you could do 20 before you get tired. And basically what I'm saying is it's a certain train that goes on with the mind, where if you seek to hit a certain height, you have to almost ask for double or triple of what you really intend to receive. And so when the level of our highest point, our top of the pyramid, if you want to give it that term, is a man, then automatically we won't be leaving Earth, because only men live here on Earth. And these fleshly life forms and these stories that they come up with, that's a product of Earth. And so to get to a higher level, for those individuals who feel like they've done enough of Earth, and that's why you can't really, this is the message that comes forth, but we don't force anyone to do anything, and it's important not to get involved with what people do with the information that you give them, because that's again, the ego gets strong off of that. If the person gives some information forth, what a person does with it is none of their business. It's none of my business what people do with information. I can just tell you exactly how it works. So there's some individuals that are ready to leave the dimension. We've just had enough. I've seen so much of Earth and experienced every single emotion that's available here, so I'm ready to go to the next level. When a person gets to that point, then they're now ready to open what I just call the magic window. They're ready to break the dimension. Now, this takes a certain level of power, because what you're going to do is you're now going to go and meet principalities, rulers, and dominions. And these, as the Bhagavad Gita talks about, is all within the mind. That what happens, the person set up several opponents, even the devil, even themselves, set up opponents for themselves to have to face before they can ultimately clear themselves of what they are calling their karma. Because every single person inside feels when they've done something and they're just not in the right arena. And it's only the continuous neglect of that actually allows it to dole out a little bit. But when the alcohol is taken or drugs are taken, the person immediately gets away with this type of feeling, because most of those drugs are structured to be gateway drugs, but we won't really get into that right now. So what's really before a person at this point is that what we're doing is working with the body first, because we're still in the body, and repairing it. The body is like a crash ship. And it's got several systems within it. It's easier to look at the chakra system as like the back of a computer. It's got multiple different kinds of plugs, and different things can be plugged into it and interfaced with it. And likewise, these can even be activated, turned on, et cetera. And so the person has now the choice, because the knowledge is here, so the choice is still theirs. But the person now has a choice to explore the ways of turning the power centers on. Because it takes power to ascend. Like if anyone for those who read the Bible, Lord said, ye shall never ascend. The fallen ones are told they will never ascend again. So what's being explained is that it takes power, as I experienced on multiple occasions, to actually start in your astral body jettisoning out of here, or, you know, like a shuttle, getting out of this dimension. And that power is pushed forth from the chakra centers, or another spirit. And so, because most individuals don't want to work on their inside and chakra centers, they go to other spirits to do it, and get themselves caught up in all of the karma associated with most beings that are involved in such things. Because to accelerate or to pull back anyone's level of consciousness is almost like surgery. You have to be very careful what you say, what you do. It's really a position, as the word they give it should be ordained for, Or it starts, you know, its own reaction, because that is the real world. You're actually messing with the real substance. The substance of value only here is souls. All the monies and the metals and the diamonds and the golds and all that, even most of those metals and diamonds and gems can be assimilated within the soul. So the control switch to this galaxy, or what powers this galaxy, is the soul. And so that's why a person has to understand they have to put value back in themselves, because when you keep going external all the time, you think that you need something else, and this creates a dependency. This creates where the person inside feels like, I'm not enough. And this is done on the subconscious level. This is not conscious. This is, you know, some people are very conscious of their insecurities, but most people are not conscious of their insecurities. And so, again, this creates certain situations that we're willing to, at this point, my faction, to walk them through it all, because that's how much we believe in the human race. I personally have seen the potential of the human race, and know the potential of the body, actually, and know for a fact that an activated human being can't really be, they can't be held down. They can't be made to submit. They can't be subdued. And so there is a heavy agenda, and that agenda is speeding up more daily, to keep, as especially this time is a very important one in the transformation process, to keep individuals from tuning into themselves so that they can activate.
Now, I know when you start to meditate or start to go into, trying to go to another dimension, your mind starts racing. It starts thinking about different things, you know. And so it's the first step is to get your mind to stay focused. You know, that seems to be the first problem, getting people to kind of steal their mind.
Right. Well, first, the thing was is that when I was first introduced to meditation, I wasn't interested in it whatsoever. I saw no value in sitting somewhere and wasting my time, because, you know, I'm from the city. So when people were telling me about meditation, I was like, man, I'm not going to sit down over there for 30 minutes. But they never told me about the breathing.
Right.
There's a breathing technique that goes on where you're literally, after a while, high on air. When you get so high on air, it's amazing. And at that point, this is what happened. When I learned the secret to whole body breathing, which was simple, I'm going to do a video on it. We're extremely underfunded, so we were really just trying to get a camera so we can get this information to the people. But I have to do it in person because I can't really explain it over any type of typing or any type of recording. But whole body breathing, because there's three pockets in the lower end of your diaphragm. It seems like the human body has some type of amphibian relationship and also reptilian relationship. And a part of that is these air pockets that are contained within the body. And you can force air over time into these pockets. And then what that does is it takes one into a different state of consciousness, like a different vibration, to the point where you just kind of, it's not like passing out, because you could still stand up. But you may be standing up for 15 minutes, and for that 15 minutes, once you come back, you don't even know where you were. You don't know how you're standing up. It takes you a minute to access your own memory, all these things. So this is what I started playing around with the breathing. And so that's what made sitting there worthwhile, because, of course, you got to sit down, or you stand up was even more powerful. But, again, standing is a master's technique. If you can stand up and go into these different states of consciousness, or else, you know, you get up with a lump on your head and your neck hurt. But, you know, in the actual breathing technique, I was getting into higher and higher states of consciousness while I was sitting down in this meditation. And I started to explore that world more. I started to do it while I was listening to frequencies. But, of course, the catalyst to this, and the individual that taught me this, I only needed to meet them one time. The catalyst to my real spiritual, I can't even categorize it like that, but one of the catalysts to one of that spiritual transformation was learning that whole body breathing, because it destroyed a fear that I've always had, which was being locked up. I've always had this fear in my mind of being in a cage. And because of that, all through my life, I've always been very paranoid of situations where there could be possibly any danger involved, because of not wanting to be in the cage. And then I was put in a cage for something that I had nothing to do with, and it only traumatized me even more. But the most interesting part was once I came home, once I came out of the cage, after only 2 weeks, I start feeling like I was in the cage again. the feeling hadn't left, and that's when I learned we were in a matrix. It was at that point that I really said, wait a minute, the same feeling of when I had in the cage, I feel right now, like it's still somehow permeating things. And then I realized that the level of control here, one was actually in a cage. Furthermore, what also happened was I started to realize that in breathing, if they put you in a cage, it's the worst thing that they can do. Like a lot of people are concerned now, they're better enlighteners in this industry right now. They're concerned that the FBI is going to come, black helicopter is going to come, and they're going to put them somewhere and lock them up like Mandela. We're already ready to go because the moment that they put us in a cage, we can blow through anything they put us in. Because what happens is that once you learn the secret of breathing, that you can't be held anywhere because you could come out of your body. You can build up such a high energy, especially if you're under pressure, if you have fear. See, what happens is that adrenaline, or when you feel scared, like someone scares you really fast, that actual feeling that you feel inside, they call that adrenaline. And that actually would activate superheroes, for better lack of words. You can breathe that in, put it into your solar, and even actually into your lower area of the stomach for the man, and for the woman in different places, and you could breathe that in and hold it, and it explodes when it ignites. All this stuff is just fluid, and this was what the alchemists knew. In the spine, there was different fluids to cause you to feel a certain way, and if you knew how to take that fluid and send it through another part of your body, through your mind, you could mix up the alchemy or mix up a potion, for better lack of words, inside of your body to ignite a different kind of consciousness. So what you had was you had schools of men that were sharing this knowledge amongst each other for those who felt like this was what they wanted this to be their endeavor. And now those schools are gone. The only ones that remain are the ones where when you go in, you get someone's pet to worship or something from an animalistic type nature, product of the fractalization on Earth to worship, and these type of things. So what we also talk about, especially at the Code or the Resistance, is about making sure that for those who do want to get into the higher levels of thought, minus the rituals and the initiations and all that extra stuff, they had at least a portal to go through. Because if that's not still open, I can see how that wouldn't be the advantage of any faction. If pure energy is not allowed to flow at a certain point, even if it's just a couple pieces of pure energy or whatever, it will cause an implosion within the galaxy. Implosion at least within the planet, which is enough to suck other planets in it, meaning that people are so bottled up right now, especially the youth, they're going to implode, not explode. And this is something, again, that you can also see under the microscope, and this is what chaos is about. And so what we really have to do here is we have to we don't have to do anything. Let me correct my speech. What we really need to do is we need to get the message out, get the questions answered, get the message itself into the hands of the people who have the resources, and let's give this the last chance that we're going to have for the earth to continue. Because what an individual does is on them. Like the earth is like if you want to save a lot of people and ascend the population and all this stuff, you have these type of ideas, that is the dream. Because people have choice. So you can create a rally because just as they chose to go mostly, most people chose to go into wickedness now, it could easily be chosen, the person could choose to go into light. So you can launch a campaign, for better lack of words, to do something like that, but that is going to take it's going to take a chessboard. It's going to take multiple pieces for individuals to come together, some of those that are masters of some things and some of those that are masters of others. But for the individual, it's on them. And that, again, is the beauty of the planet because we have a chance to come together to enlighten our race and to go into a whole other evolutionary honor. Or you can just do it for yourself and get ready to blink the frequency later on in 2010. And that's really what's presented. So I'm not personally disgruntled about what's taking place here on Earth except for what's going on with the children. And so that's really what all of my work is really about. Like all of this is to get to the gatekeepers because the parents are holding the children. But the children, we have a whole different interest and they have to stay pure. because the way Earth works and the way continuation, ancestors, all this stuff works is that the souls, the children's souls, have to remain in. They have to have some type of spiritual inclination. They have to remain open so that we can sort of remote view them or live through them, for better lack of words, when we get into higher levels of our ascension process, when we leave Earth, basically. How do you still experience emotion, love? How do you know who you were? Where's your waypoint, as or anchor, they call it? That's within your bloodline. And so if they take the bloodline of Earth, the children, and droid them, which is introducing the media, make them have sex instead of making love, and all of these different things that are being fed to them now for them to become more metallic and for them to become more desensitized, then no one can go back through them, and that's going to be a problem. And so this is these are things that what I discovered, not just in dealing with spirituality, but in looking at chemistry and looking at astrology, looking at astronomy, looking at all these different high levels of thinking, I discovered the same language within all of them. A certain language within all of them that was like a universal language. And through having that universal language, that's when I began to figure out exactly how all what was going to happen, what was going to take place. And that, added to 60 million years worth of information, gave me the level of being able to see really the future, which is something like the gift and the curse. I mean, you're seeing it, but you know the biggest thing that you want to do after that is attempt to steer it into another direction, because you figure out that that's possible also. It's possible to change any future. It just depends on the strength of the individuals.
And so with all of this, H1N1 and all of this virus that they have out here. So you're saying that once we tap in into our inner power, we don't really have to take that medication. We can, and you can also heal your body and heal the earth. Or is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I mean, a person can do most of their ailments with MMS, with C102, which is chloride with two oxygen molecules. So one doesn't even have to ascend the air above, and like I said, dance around the throne and open up the portal and the gateway to be healthy. All you need to do is you need to learn basic chemistry about pathogens within the body. Now, you know, the H1N1s and all that stuff is totally something different. You know, we're at war now with Anam. And we're at war, because someone just emailed me on the site today and said, okay, which one is it? You're telling us that I think the guy, I don't know exactly how he worded it, but he's basically saying, you're telling us that we need to get ready to leave here and things like that, but you're saying that there's a war going on and you're in a war. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because I decided personally, my own decision, because I was asked, to ascend the consciousness of this human race by teaching it to leave duality, teaching it to graduate its level of thinking from the common, hey, what's up, I put myself in a war. Because there's another group of individuals that don't want that to happen. So attempting to prevent a war, I put myself in a war. It's just something that I didn't really anticipate from a thought standpoint, but definitely something I don't have a problem in, because we're battle-driven anyway. There's a certain part of me that is indigo, that's always going to be indigo, and we were put here for a war, and I can see that in a lot of the essence within me. So that also has a lot to do with your higher path or your higher calling, when you could want to avoid something all you want and then find yourself right in it. So I was definitely teaching to leave binary worlds and dualities and things like that, and that is an option, especially for a lot of our light workers and especially the women, to get ready to just ascend. But there'll be some of us staying behind, still pulling people out of the matrix and still dealing with the draconian leadership that's going on here and it attempting to hold our youth here, because who's still looking out for them? Like everyone at this point, because my work is multifaceted, but a lot of people are still functioning right now and getting themselves together, which is very important, because you can't save others if you're not saved yourself. But realistically, I still have to focus a lot of my attention on getting into higher levels of thought to be able to come up with a solution that's going to back off what I see coming in the future for the youth. Because we're still like, this is what adults have to understand. Like, I'm 31 now. You can live, by the time I was 24, you probably have done more than your grandparents did 100 years ago, because you got planes, you got internet, you have all these different ways and portals of communication. So really, we've had our lives already. But to that 2-year-old and 3-year-old, you can already see 5 more years in this world is going to be a totally different ballgame for them. And there's no way I can look them in the eye, and if they say to me, if you knew all this was coming, which I do, did you do something to stop it? I have to be able to say that if we can't turn around, I did my best. And so that means YouTube videos, like we're making movies all the time. That means the chat room and, you know, and the social network, and that means the book, and, you know, we gave the book away for free. And that means just doing, like, I'm tireless. I sleep like 3 hours a day, and I just keep going at it until, you know, something breaks, you know. And what I see happening more than anything, because I'm really interested in breaking the matrix, but I'm watching so beautifully every individual bud. Sometimes it's one at a time, and to change one person is to change a world. And so I do watch a fractalization or a small part of the change that's taken place with the individuals that I talk to on the site, and individuals that have had involved in the content, and individuals that have even had their own experience helping others. And so that, to me, makes things way better than what they used to be when, you know, what I was doing. Because you can't really look at anyone else. Like, everyone's always like the government and this and that. And, of course, I get in my own levels of doing that. But look back at yourself sometimes, too, because there is some stuff. Like, I just went to experimenting on my body. I realized that I had got some equipment, and this is an easier way to look at it. You know, body, you know, the soul, you're not the body. The body is, you know, we won't even get into how the body was constructed right now, because that would take us into a whole arena. But the soul is solo. The soul is the black matter, or dark matter, and the soul, it resides within every individual, and it passes right through beakers. Hitler had even his own experiments in the paranormal division with trying to capture the soul. And, it, you know, the most they got of it was like a Ghostbuster machine, and it didn't work very well either. But the soul can't really be captured. And so it can be made to forget and wander about, like a lot of individuals are doing now. But the fact of the matter is that when you have the body itself is like a tool. You can look at it like an organic piece of equipment, and it's probably very expensive. I always like to make jokes about this, because we have a lot of stuff that we go and get, you know, like a high-definition TV and stuff like this, but none of this stuff is as more fascinating as the body. And so now that you're encased inside of one, the best thing that you could do is pull the owner's manual and read it and see how the thing works. And then once you realize that it becomes an adventure after that, because there's things that you can get involved in here in the world that totally allow you to experience it, like the body is some sort of video game or some sort of tool that can be maneuvered. And so that's what and that's what they've taken away. They have this saying, they say, well, I'm only human. Man, they need to stop with this type of stuff. That's not an understatement. Human beings are a powerful creature, and there's things beyond human beings, which is the other thing they need to understand. But still, utilizing the human being for its full potential is now really within our lap. Now what we've been hitting in menus to have to cross expanses and great deserts to even find someone that knew anything about is available with the next Visa or MasterCard even, or sometimes for free. And that's just unheard of. And so we have to seize this moment, sometimes stop looking at it as everything is going on bad. Everything's going to work out in our favor, everything. And that's really one of our models. Everything is going to work out in our favor. That allows you to have the ability to be able to turn around everything that you feel like is negative coming towards you. It turns it around and slams it on the ground like Wing Chun. It uses its power against it. So every time you see something happening, like, man, that's gonna. I've had my own scenarios even just recently. I had, you know, something simple as running out of gas, but really far away from everything. And I said, man, it doesn't matter. Everything's gonna work out in my favor. Who knows what was going on? And so that's how easy you have to move through it. Like I learned from a doctor a long time ago. He said, man, you have to move through things very fast. When something happens, the faster you can move, the faster you'll ascend. Meaning the faster you can move on out of your mind from thinking about it and allowing it to affect you and allow it to tap into your emotions, there's no payoff. You're still going to have to come back. So if you're sitting somewhere crying, you're only wreaking negative energy. And this is not to be insensitive, because I have my days of crying too, sometimes more than not. But the thing is that it's still a certain kind of energy. So if you don't know how to harness it, like you can use that you can get mad with that energy and start doing something about what's oppressing things. But if you're using it just to sulk in it, then, you know, it's a waste of energy. And so even once you get done, as you see, you'll be laughing again. And so this type of roller coaster or the exchange of energy is what we're learning now to become more aware of. It doesn't mean become emotionless, but it definitely means to watch how you channel your energy, because you still, again, have a chakra system that's powered up to a certain degree. And most individuals are within their root chakra, which is, you know, really deep connection here on Earth, the color red or rock. And the root chakra, you know, is a certain, only a certain level of consciousness, which really has to do with reproduction and doing everything that's necessary to make sure one continues to reproduce, meaning to feed themselves and to clothe and house themselves. And, of course, that is connected to the reptilian portion of the brain. But there are things that are higher and above that. And it's when we're challenged to open up those faculties within ourselves. Those challenges do come in the way of opposition at times, because that's what a challenge is, opposition. But then one learns that everything that's happened does really work out for their favor. If there was beings over in Venus that intend to break the dimension and come into the portal, that could be a good reason to get ready to work on the ascension process. So that's kind of how I look at everything in order to remain balanced, is that everything is only just more indication to me why I need to be moving on. But I also tell, you know, I'll stop right there. Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Now, this time of year, December the 23rd, 24th, 25th, what is going on around this time of the year? I know we have the solar sorceress, but what is going on dimensionally?
Well, what happens is the reason why they like to keep people occupied on these holidays is because these holidays are really days in which the Earth and its elliptical orbit come closer to certain dimensions and certain levels of energy. And so because the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, the sun itself is at its lowest point, because the sun does affect a lot of things, and again, that's another episode. But during those points, a person has a chance to not – it's like they're not being watched, for better lack of words. So if you take those days and just concentrate them for yourself, you can make a transformation. You can level up, for better lack of words. And I will say this, anyone that's always constantly trying to prove something wrong about something, you're only proving yourself wrong. Like there's a certain level that cuts off with an individual if they're looking and to see, hey, is this going to work? And then if it doesn't, I'm going to go back to this individual and say it doesn't work. And that is not going to work. I'm just, you know, it doesn't do anything for me, and it definitely didn't do anything for you. But the fact is during these days, and it's already logged in several ancient texts, that these are the days of transformation, which is why they made Christ's death, which – I'm not even going to get into that, but couldn't be at this time. Death, burial, resurrection. So a person has the chance to let all that stuff die. Then it takes the burial, the fermenting process, and then the resurrection of a new person. And normally, at this point, they're passing out gifts with each other, worshiping Satan. Because that's Santa. I mean, it's just easy to tell. I mean, Santa, Satan, this is the oldest anagram. But if you're worshiping Satan on that day, the problem would be, there's going to be no transformation. This being has no intention to let anyone transform. That's just his job. And so that's really what's going on that day.
Oh, so man, and that's why.
Because, you know, they take the 24th for Christmas Eve, so that might as well be Christmas. And by the 23rd, then they start early. They start in November with the Christmas stuff. So,
right.
But again, it's a big distraction, because what happens, because people are so ungrateful because the ego is ungrateful. It always wants more and better. This is the problem with the ego. It wants more and better. So it's got things in a lot of trouble. But what happens is that a person, when they get a gift from another person, like I've watched little kids get a gift and they say, man, I did not want that, mommy. So this whole thing goes on. And then you got other people, well, I wonder what I should get them. That's externalization. On the most sensitive days, you're thinking about everyone else besides yourself. It's of value for a person to think about themselves if they're swimming out in the middle of the same lake that everyone's drowning in. And this is what about this is really real. Like, people think that this is a game or simulation. Like, the Most High is not a game. And so when it comes, like someone said the other day, you know, I was talking about levels of loneliness. Everyone feels lonely at this point. And, you know, there's a lot I have to say about loneliness, but there's one point where someone said, you know, at least you have the communication with these beings. And I said, look, these beings don't come and say, hey, man, how you doing? I'm okay. Man, what'd you think yesterday about that rain? Pretty, right? Yeah, it was nice. They don't come like that. They're like, hey, it's on the 33rd parallel. It was K2. It was the pyramid. That's where the extra Cheops points to. You need to look there to the 12th degree, blah, blah, blah. We'll holler at you. So it's not like some type of communication where it's like the best friend. And so it's of value to, again, like we'll talk about it now, to have intent when you're asking for something, because beings that are higher, now the lower beings, totally different ballgame. They'll come for some meat half the time or some blood. The higher beings, to even get them to come around, you really need to know what you need to have done, because time doesn't exist for them. So even coming into your presence and coming into this dimension to speak, for better lack of words, hurts because of the level of this dimension. So what happens is that focus and intent is like saying, okay, if I want power, what are you going to do with it? Then you have to do things like say, okay, I want to help the children and really mean it, and start putting in the effort that's necessary and the strategy that's necessary, or getting with others that are doing that to bring about your own transformation within the experience itself and within the intent. Because first, it goes in the mind. I have an idea. I want to go to the store. But if you never get up and get in the car and go to the store, the idea is only 50% of it, maybe. And so that's really where the intention, and to make this a little bit simpler, that's really where one has to have some intention, because you say, I want to ascend, where are you going? It's like you have to really start pinpointing this, and all this knowledge is definitely available. But it does require one to kind of tune out all the other things that have been distracting, like what did I see? I do have to log into Facebook to handle certain things. But the one today was, what is the initials that you're going to spend? What is the initials of the person that you're going to spend forever with? Do this quiz. Now, this one is a waste of time, and which is what this dimension is really about, because it's caught up in a clip off of time, wasting time. Two, how are you going to spend forever with anyone? And you're now agreeing that. But so this is like a real engagement. Not only initials are three letters most of the time, so what you're probably going to be hit back with in English language is some type of code or program. And so this is all the ways that if a person is not careful of what they're doing, and because someone asked about this today, not to skip around, but they said, well, since you've discovered that most of the words in English language, like let's take festival, fest, evil, a festeration of evil. Most of the words in the English language are wicked. How can we do anything if we can't use the language? And I said, what's important is to become conscious that you're using the language. You do choose more words more carefully. There are bad words and worse. But the thing is just to be conscious of what the word really means. And so that way one could, it's just being, like I said, just being more conscious about what's going on. Not so much as trying to avoid it, but being conscious of when it's taking place, and because that's what really puts the body, it starts to wake the body up. The waking up process that's going on here right now for people is not going to happen overnight. It can happen very fast, but it does take a level of pulling up the veil. There's more than one veil, because everything, and even when I was going through the path, it was like I had fully immersed myself into a certain religious dogma and become the highest that I could be in that, and think I was comfortable there. And then something way more powerful could say, okay, it wasn't true. And we're going to show you it wasn't true, and now you need to move on. And it would be literally like I had to pack myself up and get ready to move on. And that's what I mean by you have to move fast. You have to never assume that you actually have the truth. You have to be willing to say, okay, well, they got me on that one. I learned a lot of things, but it's time to let that go. Let me move to something else. And so and that's what people are being challenged to do, is to take down the shrine. I don't even know if we're going to have a day of burning. I'm going to burn, have a day of burning these idols again. Maybe they need one of those, just like old times. But taking down these shrines and stuff and putting the power back into themselves, instead of looking at an inanimate statue and expecting there to be something to come about it, and not fooling oneself with, oh, it's just an emulation of what it really is on a higher level. Because, yes, a lot of these beings do exist on a higher level, but again, anything that wants you to worship it and to bow down to it, and all this is a level of lower consciousness. Because high consciousness beings don't, I don't want anyone, if I didn't have to give my name, I wouldn't. I don't want any real credit about what's taking place here for the simple fact that that doesn't do anything but continue to feed the ego to make it want to stay here. And I'll explain that, because that's a very powerful statement. When you start imagining, okay, I have this movement and I have these people and I have, or anything you do in life, I want that car, you've just agreed to stay here longer. For those, and I'm only speaking at this point to the people who want to leave. The moment you see something right by and you